Welcome to the study, and we're going to be looking again more at the body of Christ than about Israel. But last time we did find out that national Israel will not be saved until Christ returns, but then all Israel will be saved. So regarding the body of Christ and our salvation, please remember that God was under no obligation to save any one of us. God would remain perfectly fair, perfectly just and righteous to leave all mankind in his condemned state. But God's attributes of love motivated him to act in grace toward us. And therefore, we have God's pattern of salvation for us today, revealed to us in Paul's epistles of Romans through Philemon, and nowhere else. God made the way of salvation possible, even though it was impossible for us to be as good as God's presence requires. Do I have sound? I should have checked it first. Okay, good. So it's left up to us to hear God's word as to how God will save people today, as opposed to the process that he chose to save Adam, Noah, Abraham, the nation Israel. It's a different pattern today, as shown in the scriptures. Those who exercise faith, the faith which they get from being willing to hear the in-context word of God, they receive the benefits that God is dispensing today. And therefore, let's carefully consider these verses, look over them, be willing to be flexible in your own opinions, your own preconceived ideas, and believe what God put in writing, what the words on the page are. What he tells us about what salvation is still available to us today, and that Paul first received on the road to Damascus. That was the start of this new pattern that he calls it. So let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, and we'll start with 1 and 2. I cringe when I hear people say the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection, or that Christ died for our sins, because you have to apply it to yourself. You have to have the faith to relax into that, to let that be your solution for your sin problem. In other words, to trust that Christ died for your sins, and it was your death that he died on the cross. So, and that's all in the first two verses, that it's your part to believe. So when you skip those and just say 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, you're giving the mechanics of how Christ earned our salvation, but not how we apply it to ourselves, how we appropriate it. And that's what's different about the way Peter preached the resurrection and the blood atonement Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness. Doesn't tell you a thing about how to appropriate the blood of Christ or the death of Christ, the salvation. It doesn't tell Israel that. But Paul does tell us in these verses how to appropriate it in verses 1 and 2. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So he'd preached it to them, and now he's writing back to them and telling them. He's declaring it again, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So it's the gospel of salvation. It saves you, if you believe it. The Bible does not tell us that we're waiting to be saved, like Israel, like we studied yesterday about it, or the last few days about Israel. We're not trying to endure to the end, to in the end be saved. But by this gospel you are saved, it says in verse 2, by which also you are, present tense, are saved, if you keep in memory, so talking about getting saved here, it's saying in order to get saved, what would be the negative here? Well, listening to what other people preached, other than the pattern that Christ set up, somebody else's salvation. Don't do that. Keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. You may ask, how can I get saved? Well, you know, I'm sure you've probably heard, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But how do you do that? What is involved in that? You transfer your belief that by your own ability you could somehow be good enough for God. Transfer that belief to believing that you can only be saved by believing that Christ died for your sins to save you. That's not excusing your sins. Neither you nor God can excuse your sins. For God has to remain just. And for him to remain just, he cannot merely excuse sins. Give you a free pass on that one. No, doesn't work that way. But rather, the penalty for your sin is death, and in grace, Christ paid that penalty. Christ died that death, that he died for your sins. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in other words, Paul is saying, don't just imagine what I said. When you're deciding to believe the gospel to be saved or not to believe it, remember to believe what I'm actually preaching to you. What I preached unto you, he said there, about three times. I think twice in the first verse and once in the second verse, he says, what I preached unto you. Remember to believe that, and so that you're not believing something that doesn't work. A discontinued plan of salvation. Israel's plan of salvation doesn't work now. They're not God's people anymore. They're Lo-Ammi. You'd be believing something, believing in vain, though. In other words, it's vain to believe what the others preached, other than Paul. Paul has our salvation gospel. The Lord purposely revealed it to him separately from the others. It wasn't given to Paul by Peter or James. They didn't have it. And you can see that in the account of Cornelius, that nothing is said about the salvation pattern by which Paul was saved. It's all about how, you know, the kingdom that was coming and the gospel preached in Jerusalem. Peter doesn't introduce anything new with Cornelius. So it just doesn't work to believe Israel. Well, what Peter preached, Peter's Israel gospel about their kingdom, that was a salvation limited to a nation. Remember, that was a national salvation. It was the nation Israel that was born in the wilderness there in Exodus 4:22. It was the nation. And the promise in Exodus 19 is about a coming kingdom, coming to earth, on earth, to rule on earth, for the believing descendants of Jacob to rule the world. That's totally different from salvation from the wrath of God being offered to each individual based on his believing that Christ died for that person's sins, the individual believing it. Remember, the Bible says that Paul did not receive this new gospel from men. He received it by Jesus Christ revealing it to him from heaven. It was only Paul who had that different gospel message. He's telling them to believe what I am telling you. Remember what I said unto you. Keep in memory what I preached unto you. Otherwise you believe in vain. So that's not a condition of salvation. It's what what to believe, what gospel to believe to be saved. And that's the distinction to what others preached. If you believe this, you are saved, not waiting to be saved. You're saved to heaven, not to the land on earth. Let's look briefly in Galatians 6, verse 7. Paul preached, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And as far as the results to expect in this life, that's the way it is. It's not talking about if you're a good boy, you go to heaven. It's talking about if you, like we said yesterday, if you don't study in school, learn the alphabet, you're going to end up with a job that doesn't require you to know the alphabet and pays much less, you know. So what you sow, that will you also reap. So if you don't go out and get a job, you're sowing poverty. I mean, you know, then you'll be hungry. That's the reaping what you sow. Those verses in Galatians 6 are not about salvation. There's nothing in there about salvation. Those verses have no bearing on your eternal life. It's not talking about that. God would be a liar if he said you are saved and then you ended up in hell for some other reason. Turn that around. If you end up in hell, then God never said you are saved. So do you fit in? Do you fit the conditions that God says you are saved? He's going to tell us what to believe here in a minute to be saved, but it takes that belief, that full trust in the gospel only. God is trustworthy. He's worthy of your trust that he will keep his word to save believers in Paul's gospel. And so then he goes on in verse 3. This would be 1 Corinthians verse 3. He goes on to tell what that gospel is. For I delivered unto you first of all. There it is again. You know, what I preached unto you. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So Paul is telling us that that is what happened there on the Damascus Road. I received this gospel directly from Christ. That's his salvation there. And he's giving it to us, or presenting it, offering it. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. And for Paul, the first one in, it would be Christ died for my sins, for Paul's sins. And the same for you. When you believe, it's Christ died for your sins. It had not been known before that by believing that Christ died for your sins, you would be saved from God's wrath. And, you know, if someone said, well, I'm not going to believe in the commandments and in the, before Paul, I mean, if they said, I'm not going to believe in circumcision and all that, but I believe that Christ died for my sins, and, you know, he hadn't been preached this, the gospel hadn't been, the gospel pattern hadn't been started or set by Jesus Christ with Paul. It was before Acts 9. He may have happened on what was a later gospel, but it wasn't offered yet. Just like it wasn't offered to Noah yet, that by believing that Christ died for your sins, you're saved. No, you had to hear it and then believe it. That's Romans 10:14, I think, isn't it? You have to hear the gospel before you can believe it. And that's why it's so important to find out who Paul was sent to. In due time, that same saving message was sent with a different name. It was sent to all men later on, and Paul received his later sending after he had been told about it in his temple vision, when Christ told him to get out in a hurry, get out of Jerusalem. They're not going to believe. He says the Jews will not receive what I have to tell you now. Christ told Paul that he will be sending him far hence to the far off Gentiles. Now don't mistake me here. There are people looking for things to criticize. I'm not saying that Christ sent Paul to the far hence Gentiles. That's a misuse of the language. It's a mistake in reading. He's sending Paul far hence. Far hence. And who he's sending him to are described in Ephesians 2:13 and 2:17 as far off Gentiles. The Gentiles that are far off, not in the covenants, not coming to the synagogues, blessing Israel with their tithes. So anyway, his later, further out sending is no longer only to those Jews and Greeks in that little circuit around the Mediterranean there that Christ had sent him to before. And we studied that, like we said yesterday, in the lesson a few weeks back about five times delivered. Paul was sent to, the ones that Christ delivered him from, according to Acts 26:17. But previously, Paul had been sent specifically to the Gentiles that would provoke Israel to jealousy in wanting those, you know, what the Greeks had, what the Greek Gentiles had found. They were placed there to provoke Israel to jealousy. It says that in Romans 11:11, and it says it in the Old Testament too. Where is that? Deuteronomy. It's 32 something, I think. I should look that up. Give me a second here. Deuteronomy 32. That's not it. There it is, 21. 32:21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. Israel was constantly going after false gods and turning away from God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. That's the Greeks. They were not a nationality. They weren't a people. They were a description of people that sought, or of individuals that sought God. They were seekers of God in the scriptures, in the synagogues, the scriptures that were kept in the synagogues. And when they found from Genesis 12:3 that God would bless those people that are not Jews, if they would bless the Jews, they blessed the Jews. They were Greeks. They were placed there by God in that roughly quarter century there called a dispensation of the gospel, as far as the body of Christ is concerned. As far as Israel is concerned, it's called a work. Habakkuk 1:5, a work. And he goes on to say, I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. That being the nation, the little flock that God took the kingdom from the apostate nation and gave it to the little flock. So that fits right in there too. And now that's regarding those Greeks. They were sent to provoke. They were placed there. The gospel was sent to them to provoke Israel to jealousy. Paul had, in addition to that, Paul had been sent to the Gentiles and for the purpose of provoking Israel to emulation. That's a different verse, a different situation. But they both provoke Israel, both the Greeks and Paul. Paul provokes Israel to emulation, to copy those believing Greek Gentiles that, you know, some might be saved. Some of those Jews that Paul was in a ministry of, at that time, before he was sent to all people. That was Paul's heart's desire and prayer for God, to God for Israel, that they might be saved. Paul was to preach salvation to the remnant, the prophetic remnant, those that, whether they believed or not, in those synagogues that he made that circuit there around what's Turkey now, I guess. But he also was to preach to Israelites. As Israel's program was closing down, Israel already had fallen. they were in a diminishing stage, according to Romans 11:12, and they hadn't yet been cast away that would come in Acts 28, verses 25 through 29. You can read Isaiah's casting away curse from Isaiah 6 there that Paul recites to them to cast them away. But Paul preached to some of those Jews as, you know, to preach salvation to the remnant according to the election of grace, a different remnant than the prophetic remnant. The prophetic remnant was the little flock and those 8,000 or so meeting together with the little flock, with the, as part of the little flock, you know, with the apostles. But this remnant according to the election of grace, and there's people that don't care to consider it this way at all. You hear them all the time in Facebook, but they think that election according to the remnant according to the election of grace is Israel. They came from Israel. They were Jews, but they chose grace. They elected grace. They came to God with Paul's gospel, and they were part of they dropped their Jewishness, became part of the body of Christ. And God was using the Greek Gentiles from the synagogues to provoke the Jews to jealousy and emulation. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:3, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So those are the prophesied facts of history. The Scripture foretold that Christ would die. The Scripture foretold that Christ would be buried, and that he would rise again, the resurrection. However, not everyone in the history of the world is saved merely because those prophesied events occurred. Those events only save people in connection with what is said back there in verses 1 and 2. That's why we went over them so carefully. 1 Corinthians 15:2 says that we are saved by believing, but not believing in vain. According to verse 2, believing in vain for salvation is to try to get saved by some other gospel than what Paul preached. To get saved, people must first hear and keep in memory the gospel that Paul preached and then believe it to be true. Now, that doesn't take much time. You know, you hear it and believe it. If you don't believe it, it may take more time, and then some people do come around later and believe finally. That's why we don't give up on people unless they're that come into the Pal Talk room and dispute. If they come in or just vile, we ban them sometimes for a while anyway. But they have to hear and keep in memory what Paul preached and believe it to be true. And then according to verse 1, they must receive it to themselves. That's a part of believing. It's actually a fuller believing. It's a trusting, entrusting your future, your destiny, to what Christ said he would do for you on that basis. So they must receive it to themselves, entrusting their salvation to God on the basis that Christ died for all their sins and was buried and rose again. To receive the death of Christ for your sins is to believe it to be receive it to your situation. To acquire it. To make it yours. That's what receive means. So, and I think Paul used it twice in those four verses, didn't he? Receive. To receive it. Paul believed that his salvation was earned by Christ, not by him. By Christ on the cross. When Christ became his sin for he became your sin and my sin too, and he died my death and your death on the cross for my sins, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's merely a restatement of 2 Corinthians 5:21. But we need to go on. Ephesians 2:10 confirms it by saying that we believers are created. We believers are created. There's something different that goes on within us at that time. Something new, a new creature. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And notice that it does not say that we're created in Christ Jesus by our good works, but rather that it's by Christ having died for our sins on the cross that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that's the love and grace of God, both His love and the resultant grace that He shows toward us, from which we believers cannot be separated. It's all in Christ, and we are in Christ once we believe. In order to get a clearer scriptural view of what Paul started preaching when he would go to a town and arrive at the synagogue, let's look at some verses. Start in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, and we'll go through 17. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Well, that's pretty wide there. Anything you've learned. But he goes on and he qualifies it. He narrows it down. He says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he's talking about what Timothy learned from Paul, and what we can learn from Paul in the scriptures that Paul wrote, that the Lord Jesus Christ inspired Paul to write. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. So before Paul was saved, when Timothy was a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. And it says those Old Testament, those scriptures that he knew before the revelation of the mystery, they're able to make you wise unto something. Now, it doesn't say anything about being made saved or those Old Testament scriptures save you. It says they're able to make you wise unto salvation. What about that salvation? It's through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's Paul's gospel there. That having faith in Christ Jesus and what He did for us. Every time the gospel is given, it's not fully explained all over again. It's not given, you know, there are summaries of the gospel. There are parts where believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Well, it tells you that you're saved. It tells you to believe, but it doesn't tell you anything about the death of Christ, the provision of God to make that happen, that you will be saved. So there are brief versions of the gospel, like this, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I like those first four words there, all scripture is given. And then it tells that it's by inspiration of God. There's no more scripture being written, though. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That includes Acts. You got to be very careful and, you know, keep it in context. Find out who's being addressed and, you know, keep the chronology in mind. You know, if you're before Acts 9, you can't assume that people are going to be saved by believing that Christ died for their sins. It just wasn't revealed or even thought of yet. Christ revealed that to Paul after Acts 8. Starting, I believe, in Acts 9, verse 6. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect. You know, like a baby's not fully matured, but he can have a perfect baby. He's got all his fingers and toes and everything. that the man of God may be perfect. We're fully equipped. We've got everything we need to grow up into Christ. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Paul starts out by reminding Timothy, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Whether Timothy was reading the Old Testament scriptures taught to him by his mother and his grandmother, or whether he was reading them, you know, what Paul had been inspired to write before the time that he writes this, but after the time that Paul learned from his mother and grandmother the Old Testament scriptures before he ever met Paul. Timothy did. Timothy learned the Old Testament scriptures. Then when he met Paul, and he would have read some of the scriptures that Paul wrote, some of the earlier writings of Paul, put it that way. So in verse 15, Paul proclaims that those Old Testament scriptures are able to make you wise unto something, and they're able to make him wise unto what Paul preached when he heard it, salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And notice that Paul did not say that the Old Testament scriptures could save him. Again, we must emphasize that over and over. In case somebody hears part of it or something and thinks that we're saying that the Old Testament scriptures have the plan of salvation for us in it, no. It makes you wise, just like the gospel of God. The facts about who Jesus is make you prepared. They give you a foundation on which to believe, hear and believe the gospel of Christ that saves you, that Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. So the Old Testament scriptures were to make him wise. They were able to give the reader wisdom. That wisdom would prepare him to hear and believe Paul's gospel of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Make thee wise unto, it says. All right, we'll stop there and take any questions.